Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our fellowship service today. We hope that you receive a blessing indeed. In the way of announcements, Mondays 9 to 12, the Women's Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project. The quilts will be donated to support the veterans. During the month of August was when we were collecting the school supplies. As you can see, some of them are down here, and they welcome more, I'm sure. Today at 4 is the Women's Auxiliary meeting. Wednesday the 21st at 10 a.m., they'll be packing the food bags at Deep Run First Baptist Church. Contact Johnny Braxton if you can help. Absolutely.
I've only got three people that's volunteered for this coming week, so if anybody else is interested in helping us bag the groceries, just please give me a call or say something today. Let me know you can be there.
Thursday morning Bible study, the 22nd at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 24th, from 9:30 to 12, the Women's Auxiliary Study Course at Core Creek Original Free Will Baptist Church. Please see Ms. Linda Faye Jenkins for details for that. Sunday, August 25th, is the Blessing of the Backpacks. Saturday, August 21st, at 9, the Women's Auxiliary Fall Convention at Kinston First Original Free Will Baptist Church. See Ms. Linda Faye for that as well. Are there any other announcements? Oh, yes, I have another one. Farm Missions Rally is September the 8th at 6 at the Beulahville Church, 141 Lyman Road in Beulahville. Anybody interested in that? Are there any other announcements?
Just some community announcement that South Lenoir Blue Devils are selling devil cards that have a lot of good stuff on it for discounts at different places in Lenoir County. And the surrounding area. So Anna George is selling for $10 if you wanted one. They're on sale for right to the end of the month or so.
Okay.
Help support their athletics.
All right. Sounds good. Is there anything else? If you would please take your bulletins, we're going to stand and read the responsive reading together. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him.
And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.
Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."
Father, we thank you this day and many blessings you've afforded us. It's good to be able to come to your house and worship. We celebrate you today, and we just glorify your name. We thank you for this time that we have to baptize two young men, Tyler and Patrick. We just pray your blessing upon all we do. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Tyler, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
You believe that the Bible tells us that, and Jesus tells us that when he died on the cross and shed his blood, that through faith in him, that we're forgiven of our sins?
Yes, sir.
Upon your profession of faith, here today, before this church family, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Patrick, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Believe what the Bible tells us, that when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, it's through faith in him that we have forgiveness of our sins.
Yes.
Upon your faith, your profession of faith here today, before God and for this church family, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 132 in our hymnals. Stand and sing the first three verses of "Join All the Glorious Names." Thank you. May be seated. Miss Elaine Kennedy has our scripture readings this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It's the birth of Moses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." The New Testament reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 23. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him boldly from form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself, about 30 years old, when he became his ministry. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Are there any prayer requests? One praise thing I'll let you know. Shirley's coming home tomorrow. Michael and Sam and Heath and Brendan helped put up the ramp yesterday for her. So she is coming home tomorrow, and so keep her in your prayers. Like Michael say, she's not sure she's ready to come home from the hospital, but you know how insurance is, so she's on the way home tomorrow. Any other prayer requests?
Yes. A prayer request for the family of Steve Hall. He died very suddenly on Friday. That's Bill and Regina Hawkins' brother-in-law.
Karen's husband.
Steve Hall. Yes,
thank you. Terrible. Ms. Caroline?
Pray for my daughter Karen, She's going through cancer treatment now. And also, pray, Junior, Harry Moore, he's at Rex, and he's going through this and that and the other and all kinds of things. And I'm telling you people, it's getting to my sister. It is getting to her. She can't sleep. She's got to sleep in whatever she finds. And it's taking a toll on her. And anyway, pray for her as well. And you see what I got on here. I've hurt my back with this wreck I was in. And I suppose I'll be seeing a doctor in another week or so to get something done about it. So pray for that as well, please.
John, continue to pray for my brother, please.
Okay.
He's still in the hospital.
Richard Moore.
Richard Moore?
Richard Moore.
Oh.
He's had a hernia operation.
Family of Darryl Sanders.
Darryl Sanderson, yeah. Okay. And Art Floyd's got surgery coming up 1st of September as well.
Maybe Bobby Davis as well.
Bobby Davis' family, yes. Anybody else?
Pray for our country.
Amen. Father God, we come to you now in prayer. We lift up those that have been mentioned. We lift up those that weren't mentioned. Lord, you know what's on our minds, and we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that you will comfort those that need comfort. And Lord, you just know what needs to be done. So we just put it in your hands. We thank you for allowing us to come here to worship together. We thank you for the time that we get to spend together. And we ask that you bless the message that Joe's going to bring to us this morning. And we thank you for allowing us to be a participant in this baptism. Lord, it's just wonderful to watch people come to you and accept you. Be with us as we worship together, Lord. All these things I ask and pray in thy precious name. Amen.
Let's all turn to hymn number 2. Stand and sing all 3 verses of Holy God, We Praise Thy Name.
thank thee for the day to come to worship you, to worship you in spirit and truth, to love you and to honor you in our worship today. Lord, we thank you for the two that have been baptized, and we pray that that we may help them to live for you each day. Lord, we ask your blessings on the offering and each one that's given, and we honor you through that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to try to do this song today. It's very powerful. And if you listen to any contemporary music, you've heard Worthy of It All. Very popular song. It's a very good song. So we're going to try it. Oh!
Thank you, Sonia. That was a blessing. You know we're going to expect more, don't you? Today our scripture text comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20. Follow me, he said. Today we'll look at one of Jesus' most famous sayings and consider what it teaches us. The passage is found near the beginning of the oldest account in the life of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. It reads like this. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Today he called Patrick and Tyler to follow him, and he calls all of us to do the same. Now, it kind of sounds like in this story that Jesus called out to two complete strangers to follow him. And they dropped everything and they began walking in his directions with their arms stuck straight out in front of them like a science fiction movie. But I'm pretty sure that isn't how it was. Jesus, he wasn't a stranger in this region, and he probably wasn't a stranger to Simon and Andrew. Jesus had been out in his community, in the communities wherever he traveled, and he had been connected to the ministry of John the Baptist, and he had been preaching in the area for a while. And there's no reason not to think that Simon and Andrew were already familiar with him. And I want you to realize this morning that their decision to follow Jesus was not that much different than ours. He called them just like he calls out to each of us today. Jesus not only calls us, but Jesus also calls us to know him. Now, we can know about Jesus casually from a distance. And this might have been their relationship to Jesus. They may have heard him preaching, and just casually, all from a distance, they saw Jesus and they knew who he was. You know, for us today, we can know about Jesus through reading books. There's more books being written about Jesus than any other figure in the history of the world. And we can know about Jesus through books, especially the Bible. But we really get to know Jesus by following him. It is by following Jesus that we find direction in life as we daily answer his call. Now, there are three things about Jesus called Andrew and Simon that we need to incorporate into our daily routine. Let's take a brief look at them this morning. First of all, we need to understand what it means to follow. In verse 17, Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Now, this is different than what you would expect from a mere prophet. As you read about the prophets in the Bible and even prophets of other religions and histories, that in history, the prophets most often said, "Follow God. You need to follow the way of righteousness, or you need to follow the law, or you need to follow the religious rites and rituals, or you need to follow the traditions of those from the past." But notice what Jesus said, "Follow me." And this is an important distinction for a couple of reasons. First of all, Jesus here is establishing himself as a leader, as a leader who has authority. And in another time when he was teaching, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus is establishing himself as a leader who has authority. Number two, Jesus is making it clear that the life of a believer is not the life of just thinking and knowing and discussing ideological principles or coming together to read a few verses of Scripture and then just going on our own way. Following Jesus is a life of being just like Jesus. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he was saying, get out of your little boat, get out of your restrictive comfort zones, and walk with me. Follow me. Go where I go. Do what I do. Talk like I talk. Live like I live. Love like I live. Love who I love. He's inviting us to imitate him, to mirror him, to mimic him, to show the world who he really is. Church, we must look like Jesus. If it doesn't look like Jesus, it's simply not a church. And the truth is, too many times in our lives, we act like everything but Jesus. Anybody ever had a problem with that? Anybody? A few people there, okay. Too often we want to follow everyone or anyone and everything but Jesus. And it shows in our daily routine, in our conversation, in our interaction with others. I want to remind us today, Jesus called us to follow him. And that means he wants us to act like he did when he related to people, to reflect his values and his ethics. And these must be lived out in our relationship with others, at home and at work, in our community, and in the church. And the point is, instead of judging others, we need to evaluate ourselves. Are we doing life the way that Jesus wants us to do it? We got to get past the idea that Jesus wants us to be successful. And as long as we're successful, everything is okay. Jesus didn't call us to be successful. He called us to be faithful. He didn't call us to take the lead for him or to conquer for him or to build for him. Jesus called us to follow him. And there's a difference. That means that what we do it just like Jesus would do it. It means that compassion and mercy and grace and love must define our lives more than gossip and condemnation and judgment. It means that we have absolutely no room for arrogance or condensation, or room for pride or self-righteousness, no room for an unforgiving spirit. It means that we become a servant and follow Jesus. I hope that you will zero in on this crucial aspect of who we are called. To be. We're called to be like Jesus, to imitate Jesus in our daily lives. The second thing we need to understand is how our lives can have meaning. Jesus said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You might say, "Well, I don't want to catch no men." Or women. But that's what Jesus calls us to do. You know, fishing wasn't a bad profession. In fact, it was a crucial part of the Galilean economy. Providing food so the community could sustain itself. That was important. It was an important contribution. But Jesus promised him something much more. Follow me. Don't catch people. You won't spend your life merely supporting the local economy. You'll invest your life in building the world's community, the kingdom of God. You'll be investing in the important work of seeing lives changed forever. Following Jesus means that everything we do centers around helping people find and follow Jesus. And the world desperately needs a church that actually follows Jesus. It needs Christians to take their name seriously, to actually be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Folks, our world is hurting. Our world is lost and desperate. People are hungry. They're oppressed. They're tired. They're lost. They're out of hope. It's our job to go to them. The world desperately needs a church that's following Jesus with their whole lives. And the third thing is, we must understand that it must begin today. Right now, where you are. Verse 18 says, at once they left their nets and they followed him. At once. You know what that means? It means at once. They didn't wait. At once. They didn't postpone it. Anybody ever postpone anything?
Yes.
At once. They didn't ignore the call. At once. They didn't make any excuses. Now, I know y'all have never made any excuses. This is an important aspect of following Jesus. You start today and you begin right where you are. Simon and Andrew didn't put off answering Jesus' call. They didn't wait until they were perfect or until they were worthy. They didn't wait for the church to meet and decide what they should do. The Bible says they dropped their nets and they got out of the boat and they started following Jesus. There's only one way to do it. Start today. Start now. Don't get tangled in the net. Get out of the boat. Don't wait till you're perfect or your circumstances are perfect, because they never will be. Just decide today you'll get serious about following Jesus. And watching Jesus as he went through his communities and he dealt with the religious people of his day, we see that Jesus didn't have much tolerance for indecision and excuses. And that's why he calls us to follow him now. And that means that we begin today. Some of you have been believers for years, even decades, but you keep putting off getting serious about following Jesus. You want to be really committed to Christ, deeply involved in serving him, walking with him every day, devoted to him in prayer, loving people like Jesus loved them. Someday. And yet you keep pushing the deadline, thinking, I'll get to this eventually. Maybe tomorrow. Today's the day. Now's the time. Decide right here, this moment, to leave your nets, get out of the boat, and get serious about following him. And here's what you can expect. Your life will begin to count like it never has before. You'll move from mediocrity to meaning. You'll move from being a spectator to being a participator in the greatest kingdom there's ever been. You become a fisher of men, living with the power of the Holy Spirit, experiencing God's kingdom power each and every day of your life. Donald Miller tells this story in his book, Blue Like Jazz. He said, a long time ago, I went to a concert with my friend Rebecca. I heard this folk singer was coming to town. I thought she might like to see him, so you know, she was a singer too. Between songs, though, he told a story that really spoke to me. It helped me resolve some things about God. He said the story was about his friend who's a Navy SEAL. The folk singer said his friend was performing a covert operation, freeing some hostages in a building in a dark place in the world. His friend's team flew in by helicopter. They made their way to the compound, stormed into the room where the hostage had been imprisoned for months. The room, the folk singer said, was dark and filthy. And the hostages, were curled up in a corner, terrified. They wouldn't even look up. When the SEALs entered the room, they heard them, their gasp, and their crying in fear. And they stood at the door and they called to the prisoners, telling them, said, "We're Americans, we're the Navy SEALs, and we've come to rescue you." But the hostages wouldn't move. They sat there on the floor. They hid their eyes in fear. They were not of healthy mind and didn't believe that their rescuers were actually Americans. The SEALs stood there not knowing what to do. They couldn't possibly carry them all out. One of the SEALs got an idea. He put down his weapon, he took off his helmet, and he went over amongst the hostages and he curled up tightly next to them, so close that his body was touching theirs. He softened the look on his face and he put his arms around them and he showed them that he really was one of them, because none of the prison guards would ever do anything like that. And he stayed there for a little while until some of the hostages started to look at him, finally meeting his eyes. The Navy SEAL whispered that they were Americans and they were there to rescue him. He asked them, "Will you follow us out?" The hero stood to his feet, and one of the hostages did the same, and then another. Until they all stood and they were willing to follow them to safety. He continues on, he said, "I never liked it when preachers said we had to follow Jesus. Sometimes they would make Jesus sound angry." He said, "But I like this story that the folk singer told. I like the idea of Jesus becoming man so that we would be able to trust him. And I like the way that he healed people and loved them and cared deeply about how people were feeling." He said, "When I understand that the decision to follow Jesus was very much like the decision the hostages had to make to follow their rescuer, I knew then that I had to decide whether or not I was going to follow Jesus." I like that story. I like to think of Jesus as my rescuer coming to me, crouching down beside me in my brokenness and putting his arms around me and on my shoulder and asking me to follow him. But the truth is, not only did Jesus become like one of us and came to us to rescue us, Jesus calls us to become like him. And Jesus made it fairly simple to start with. Amen? He said, "Follow me." The "follow me" moments of life are less about where we are going or what we're doing, and more about who we are becoming. Jesus calls us to follow him. And when we follow Jesus, we will become like him. "Follow me" is ever-present, an ongoing call of Jesus to every one of us. "Follow me" moments seem to have a common thread. They ask us to let go, to leave behind, to walk away, to walk to Jesus, and to walk with him. Isn't that what Simon and Andrew and James and John did? We never get anywhere unless we're willing to leave where we are. We can never hold anything different unless we're willing to drop what's already in our hands. And that means letting go of our nets, getting out of our boats, and walking away from old man Zebedee. Today, I want you to think about, what are the nets in your life? What are the things that entangle you? What are the things that capture you and imprison you? What is your little boat? Your little boat that contains your life and keeps it small and manageable. The ones that give you the illusion of security and stability. The ones that are overly familiar and comfortable and keep you sailing on the same old waters, the same old way. Our challenge is to identify the nets and the boats in our lives, and when we do, we'll find a follow me moment. A moment in the invitation to step into the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus calls us to follow him in his steps. And I'm always amazed at how Simon, Andrew, and James, and John didn't say a word. They didn't ask a single question. Where are we going, Jesus? We ain't never been there before. What are we going to do, Jesus? We ain't never done it like that. How long are we going to be gone? Is it going to go past Sunday at 12? But notice they didn't ask any questions. Those were not their concerns. They just get up and they go and they follow Jesus. That took faith, didn't it?
Yes.
I'm telling you, it takes faith to follow Jesus. Church, will we drop our nets? Will we get out of the boat? Will we follow him? I believe that this is what God wants for every one of us. And you know, there are a lot of things in life that we're not able to do. Can everybody recognize that? But church, this is one thing we can all do. We can follow Jesus. Jesus said to them, follow me. What did Jesus say?
Follow me.
What did he say?
Follow me.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you made it so simple. Keep our eyes focused on you. Follow in your steps. Another place you said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added. Strengthen our faith, Lord, our resolve, our desires to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's turn to 482 in our hymnals. We're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 4 of Jesus is Calling.
Once again, we thank all of you for coming today, bringing the spirit of worship, bringing the joy of your salvation, and thanks for every expression of worship and praise to Almighty God. Tyler and Patrick, we're proud of you guys, and we just thank everyone for being a part of this service today. Does anybody have anything to say before we leave? Are you ready to go out there and follow Jesus, aren't you?
Amen. Amen.
Yes. All right. Father, we thank you for your word and for Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and the example that he has set. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just pour upon us a little more measure of faith and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that we can fall right into the footsteps of Jesus every day. Strengthen our resolve as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen.